Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women.
Football Friday. Go to the Western Hotline for our weekly chat with Chris Brown. Play-by-play of the game Sunday, 1 o'clock from Houston. He'll be in the booth with Eric Wood, Sal Capaccio there as well. Have it here on WGR. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, guys.
It's a big one Sunday. We were just pointing out that, you know, the Bills play the Texans, the Ravens, the Chiefs. The Texans play the Bills, the Ravens, the Chiefs. All these teams, maybe the four leading candidates for home field advantage and the first round bye, like it's week five, but I feel like we're going to be talking about who won this game going forward for the next 5, 6, 10 weeks.
Yeah, we probably will. I mean, we're talking about division winners, right, from last year, and they're playing first place schedules, and I think that's the test for Houston. I mean, yeah, it was nice that they won the division last year, but they were playing a last place schedule. So, you know, now you're playing a first place schedule. Can you still hang with the big boys when you're actually playing the big boys? That's the test for the Texans. For the Bills, this is old hat. You know, they've been playing first place schedules for the last 3 years.
Yeah, and I think the test for the Bills here, you know, Baltimore, maybe that's the phrase people are using is a unicorn matchup where they test you in ways that not many teams do. For Houston, it's a good group of receivers, it's a good young quarterback, and I'm kind of like ready to lean back on Sean McDermott, Bobby Babich, and what they usually do in the passing game, whether that's against the Dolphins, against Kyler Murray earlier this year, against Trevor Lawrence. Like this defense generally has the answers to stop teams in the passing game, and this is the next test, and for me, I feel like it's an opportunity for a bounce back, if I may, after the loss last week.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, the Bills under Sean McDermott since 2019 are 18-5 after a loss. They've only had one set of back-to-back losses each of the last 4 years. So when they lose, they very rarely lose again. And I think it's just, you know, part of the process that Sean McDermott talks about all the time. And I think the players feel like they just didn't bring the energy to last week's game to match what the Ravens put on the field. And I think that has them redoubling their efforts to have a much better performance on the road this week. And, you know, at its core, the Bills defense is designed to stop the pass. And that's pretty much the only thing the Texans are doing well right now. So I think it's strength on strength, which yeah, to me is a much better situation for Buffalo.
And I think, you know, light boxes, this will be one of these games. The Bills have done this in the past where they will very much, I think, invite Houston to run. And you mentioned Houston's not running it well, and they might be down their top two running backs as well. So Houston will have to use their strength to pass into the strength, even though the Bills are inviting the run.
Right. And I think if you look at Buffalo's pass defense specifically, I mean, Christian Benford and Rasul Douglas have been outstanding. Yes, you've been without Taron Johnson. Cam Lewis, I think, has been, you know, decent there at the position in Taron's absence. So, you know, if it becomes a matchup-type game, I think you at least feel good about what Benford and Douglas have done chiefly, and then even Cam Lewis. So hopefully that all works out, you know, in terms of defending their passing game.
How do you think the Bills will do sufficing Von Miller not being in there with their pass rush? He didn't play a lot last week, Chris, but before that, obviously, he had been super impactful as an edge rusher.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of pass rush opportunities last week, right? I mean, they were getting first downs before they even got to third down, the Ravens were. So you can kind of understand why Miller's snap count was down, but I'll tell you, I'm very excited to see Javon Solomon with more of an opportunity here. Believe me, I'd prefer to see the veteran Vaughn on the road, especially, you know, in his home state, probably amped to play the game. That's not an option. So, you know, Solomon played sparingly against the Jags, and he has a sack strip fumble in the game, granted against backups at that point in time. But Laremy Tunsil, even if he does play at left tackle, is not 100% healthy. He's been playing hurt the last couple of weeks and obviously has not been practicing fully this week. So if he plays, he won't be 100%. And Solomon is a player that has impressed his teammates. I mean, Greg Rousseau, we had on our show, and he pretty much, I asked him, you know, who's the most impressive player in your room? And he said, Javon Solomon, just because of the strength he has with his hands and his ability to bend around the edge. So I think with extended action, I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table here. And then I think Tuhill and Smoot, you know, they're not pop-off-the-film players, but they're reliable, steady-Eddie-type players, and sometimes that's just what a defense needs when you lose a player the caliber of Von Miller.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline as we gear up for Texans and Bills. Chris, a lot of the conversation this week has been about whether it's Davante Adams' speculation. It's been about the receiving core and what the Bills can get out of this. And Shakir banged up is not exactly good news. We'll see if he's able to go. Whether it's Coleman or Samuel, you know, the question we're asking today in a Twitter poll is, like, everybody eats, which Bills target do you think should maybe get a little bit more on their plate? Because Samuel's usage so far has been a bit surprising. Kincaid has run fewer routes than Mac Hollins. I just found that stat there for you. Came across Twitter feed. Like, who do you think the Bills and Joe Brady might get an eye on getting a little bit more involved?
Yeah, I mean, logic would say Samuel, right? Just in terms of the kinds of routes we've seen Shakir run, those are kind of in Samuel's wheelhouse. But then you have to remember that Coleman was used a lot in the slot at Florida State. So I'm very intrigued to see how Joe Brady draws this up this week if Shakir can't play. And, yeah, you're right. Samuel's usage has been a little curious. It's been on the light end. I think a lot less than we anticipated, you know, coming into the season. So do they choose to go with the veteran player on the road, giving him that role? Or do they put the rookie in a new role that he hasn't really done, at least from what we've seen, within the scope of the offense? I'm tending to think he leans toward the veteran here to make plays, but maybe if it doesn't work through the course of the first half, maybe he does switch gears and put a bigger target there in the middle of the field in Coleman. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Coleman in the slot, because his draft profile, there were plenty that liked him all over the place, and there were a lot of people that liked him as a big slot. And I wonder, you know, this might come down to, you mentioned veteran versus young guy, might come down to how sure they were Shakir's going to miss. Again, we don't know that yet, but if they had an idea on Wednesday Shakir's going to miss, then they could spend the week trying to get Coleman ready for that job. And that could really boost him and give him some opportunities. Yards after catch, too, because there's another place, Chris, where we know Coleman has the ability yards after catch. So if it's – he needs to return punts, and if you want to get the full skill set from him on display, back shoulders are nice. Back shoulders never going to be a yards after catch play, right? So to maybe give him the opportunity to show what he can do with the ball in his hands, maybe that is a spot he could step in for Shakir.
Yeah, it's possible. I will say, though, that – the top three cover players for Houston are very impressive. Kwame Lassiter, you know, and then along with Stingley on the outside, they're really good players. But I think the most underrated cover man is Petrie. He plays safety, but he is their full-time nickel, and it's a role he played at Baylor, too. He was like the Swiss Army knife of the Baylor defense. He's actually a former teammate of Terrell Bernard. And Bernard was even talking about him this week. He goes, yep, he's doing everything he did at Baylor, and he's doing it really well. Petrie is an excellent nickel corner. I think he's very underrated. So it kind of tells me, you know, if try the veteran there in that matchup. If you don't think that's going to work, maybe attack Petrie with size with Coleman and see how that goes.
Yeah, what we've spent a lot of time here, Chris, on the matchup, obviously. The Texans kind of on the overall for the season, like how much of a threat do you really see them as in the AFC? Because they had all the hype. It's not perfect, though, this year yet. Like it hasn't looked it's sloppy. I've seen that term used about them a bunch. They actually, like point differential-wise, I think they're third in their own division, but the rest of the division really actually doesn't look that good, so they might cruise to that, and maybe they'll be a team that, as long as they figure it out by December and January, you might have to put them on that upper echelon, even if they're not looking great, just because I feel like they're going to cruise to winning their division.
Yeah, I think it's a haven't-put-it-all-together type situation for them, because they have the horses. I mean, their roster is ridiculous, just in terms of the talent they've been able to assemble there. Nick Caserio's done an outstanding job of mixing, you know, vets in with young players. I mean, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter off the edges. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's they're probably the envy of a lot of teams with the amount of talent they've been able to put there. But that's what you can do when you have a quarterback on his rookie contract. I mean, he hasn't even turned 23 yet. I think that happens this week coming up. Stroud, you know, we've seen this before, guys, right? You got a great quarterback on a rookie contract. You can spend a lot of money elsewhere. I mean, the Niners did it, and now Houston's doing it. And, you know, they're hoping they can get to the promised land before they have to pay Stroud gigantic money, which will probably be, God, $65 million a year by the time he's up for contract. So that's what they're trying to do here. And I think they're just trying to pull all those pieces together. And there were a lot of new pieces there. They haven't done it yet. Let's hope it continues, at least for this week.
Chris Brown. Thanks, Chris. Enjoy the game. We'll chat on Monday.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Enjoy the game.
Chris Brown will be on One Bills Live. Have you this afternoon as well. Bills and Texans. We'll talk with Texans play-by-play man Mark Vandermeer coming up at 9 o'clock in front of the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. Jeremy and Joe on a Football Friday on WGR.